Would you turn, please, to Matthew 11, from whence we read, and our thanks to the Lord's servant for giving us his testimony tonight. We're looking at Matthew 11, and I want us to look at a verse. It's verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. These words are among the most instructive and encouraging that are to be found in all of Holy Scripture. Actually, what we have here is a call to the hearer, a call to partake of an experience that would have a life-changing effect upon the one or the people who entered into that experience. In reality, it is the gospel call. And I want us to notice three things about it tonight as we come to a close in the service. First of all, there's the person from whom it comes. The speaker says, come unto me. Who is the speaker? Well, if you read the passage, you'll find that it's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, as he calls himself there in verse 19. And then in verse 25, we're told, at that time, Jesus answered and said. So the Lord Jesus Christ is in view here. He's been very busy with his utterances. Whenever we read our reading, we noticed that there were four particular areas in which he spoke. First of all, when he, in verses 20 to 24, he exposed and denounced the awful sin of the cities that were privileged with his ministry. Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, and he told us that if the mighty works that had been done in those cities were done in Tyre and Sidon, and even Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. What a solemn utterance, an utterance of solemnity. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a truth there that you and I need to take on board. That if you're not a Christian and listening to the gospel with regularity, you're going to be held to account in a most severe way, and your punishment will be greater in hell than those who have not had the same privileges of hearing the gospel than what you have heard. So there was solemnity of utterance here. And then he moves on in verse 25 and in verse 26. We see something of the sovereignty of his utterance. He begins to pray. And what a lovely way he addresses his Father. He says, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. And he speaks to God and he thanks him. And he says, I have said these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. That's an amazing statement. The people who were sagacious, people who were learned, had these things hidden from him. And then the Lord says they're revealed unto babes. A child, while he's only a child, can take in much. And that's a very important matter. You heard Mr. McVeigh tonight speaking about being saved when he was just a lad. And other older people that would have sat in those meetings and maybe sat for many more years and never trusted Christ. What can we say to that? We say that God's sovereignty is in vogue here, as well as man's responsibility. Verse 26 says, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. We cannot tell the workings of God. The Bible says the secret things belong unto God. The things that are revealed belong unto us. So there was this utterance of solemnity. And then in verse 27, we see the mystery of his utterance. And what a profound statement this is. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. There's a speciality of relationship between the Father and Son. And we see here the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ over all his creatures. The Lord Jesus is in that special relationship with his heavenly Father. The mystery of his utterance, the sovereignty of his utterance, the solemnity of his utterances. And now here in this verse we're going to look at for a few minutes, we can see the sympathy of his utterance. He knows what people are suffering. These words are kind, They're tender, they're considerate, and they just reflect the great heart of the one who uttered them. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. He who is infinitely holy and almighty is beckoning us poor, wicked, evil, willful sinners to himself. What grace, what mercy, the person who has made this call. But notice, secondly, not only the person who has given the call, but the people to whom it is sent. Notice what he said. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Two things about these people. First of all, the hardship they were suffering. They were weary and heavy laden. There's a picture here of an ox or another beast of burden that would be labouring under a very heavy weight and carrying the loads, and they're weighed down with that. And of course, in that picture, he was speaking to the people who had gathered to listen to him. And he knew what people were suffering. The Lord Jesus Christ knew what life was like. He knew of the oppression of life with all its burdens. He knew of the disappointments. He knew of the sorrows. He knew of the unfulfilled aspirations and dreams that people had. He knew of the burden that sin puts upon us. He knew of the disturbing of conscience. And he knew that people were very deeply aware of their failure. And as he looks around that audience that day, he's referring to those people and all their hardships. And ladies and gentlemen and young people, he knows about your hardship as well tonight. He knows what you're thinking. He knows the loads that you carry. He knows that you're concerned about what's going to happen this week. He knows that you're concerned about the difficulties you face. So the people that received the call were people who were suffering hardship. But there was not only the hardship they were suffering, there was the hope that they were given. The hope lay in this, first of all, the very fact that such an august, gentle, mighty, supreme, kind, tender-hearted, gentle person was saying, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. And their ears would have been cocked, they would have been pricked as they heard that, and say, we know something of this person. We have heard of his name. We have known of his mighty workings. And he's calling us here out of this vast crowd. Yeah, all of this crowd that had gathered. He's calling us. So hope was rising here. The Savior, the Son of God, was calling these desperate people to himself, not to religion, not to sacraments, not to reform, but he was calling them to himself. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. The person who gave the call, the persons who received the call, and then notice lastly the promise with which this call was accompanied. Whenever the Lord called them, he gave a promise with it. He said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That word rest takes in a lot, ladies and gentlemen. You know that if you've had a good night's sleep and you've been very tired, maybe not sleeping so well recently, but you've had a good night's sleep, you've gone through the night, you've woken up and maybe found it was 7:30, 8 o'clock or so, and you said, I've got through the night and I've got rest. I can waken up fresh. You know what that means, just with regard to a night's sleep. Well, this word rest meant so much to those who heard it. First of all, I want you to notice about this promise, how comfortingly the promise was spoken. Rest. Yes, for the body, the whole being. Rest for the mind that was disturbed and distracted and disappointed and distressed. Rest for the soul. Notice what he said in the next verse, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. The soul that's like the troubled sea that cannot rest because of its sin. Oh, my dear friend, the Lord says, if you come to me, he says, I'll give you rest. Restore peace with God. Enmity will be put away. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will then keep your heart and mind through Christ, because you have made peace with God. Peace for the mind, peace for the body, and peace for the soul. How comfortingly the promise was spoken. Would you not take it to heart tonight that God is speaking this to you and to me? But notice something else about the promise. Not only how confidently it was spoken, but how confidently it was given. He said, I will give you rest. There's no ambiguity here. There's no two-way meaning. There's no, I might be able to, or come to me and we'll see what we can do. You know the way some people talk, and they want a helper. They're not sure just what they can do. They say, come to me and I'll see what I can do anyhow. The Lord is not saying that. He says, I will. There's no uncertainty with him. And if you were to come to him tonight and turn from your sin and trust him, you'll find he will give you rest. The rest of forgiveness, the rest of salvation, the rest of peace with God and the peace of God. Notice also not only how comfortingly the promise was spoken, not only how confidently it was given, but notice how comprehensively this promise was intended. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You might say, preacher, that's good what you're saying. But what would it cover me? Am I included in this? Well, the Bible says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You say, but you don't know who I am. You don't know the wrongs that I've done. I'm not really concerned in that sense. Because I can say to you tonight, there is no qualification in this invitation, in this call. There is no condition. We sang it in our opening hymn. All the need your soul requireth is to feel your need of him. And if you feel the need of this rest, the lifting of the burden, a calm conscience, a peaceful mind, purpose in life, life itself, forgiveness and salvation, then all you've got to do is come. That's what you've got to do. And listen, friend, let me say it again. You don't have to be religious. You don't have to be upright. You might say, but all of this is for good people. It's not. It's for the very opposite. It's for bad people. And people who might call themselves good. But the Bible says the same heart, no matter where it's found, is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? It can be in a religious person or in an irreligious person. It can be in a good living person or in an evil living person. What we need is a new heart. And that's what the Lord will give you when you come. And I close with this, ladies and gentlemen. Are you like these people in this verse that received the invitation, weary and heavy laden? Are you like them? Can you identify with them? Well, then you are to come. Come to the Lord Jesus in repentance and faith. Will you come? Will you come now? Will you come with confidence? Will you come in humility? Will you come in expectation? Will you come quickly? Listen to what he says elsewhere. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to him tonight. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the gospel call. Heed it and come to him now. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord Jesus, we give thee thanks for that day that you uttered these words. Oh, how you entered into the feelings of the people with great sympathy and compassion. And as you looked upon those folk, you knew what was in their mind. You knew the afflictions and the burdens they were bearing and carrying. You said to them, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That rest is not to be found anywhere else, but in thee alone. And in this congregation, if there are those who are tempest-tossed, those who are in sorrow, those who are struggling, those who are weighed down with their sin, may they come to the Saviour tonight and experience this rest, this great salvation. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.